And the paycheck for sin, the wages of sin, is death. It is separation from a holy and living God. It is death. And folks, we just saw a description of the state of those who are walking in death. For we also once were foolish ourselves.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, many of us are familiar with the idea that we're to treat others as Christ has treated us. But it seems we often struggle showing that kind of care to those who actually need it most.
You know, Dave, treating others as the Lord commands, especially those who are evil and unkind to us, is not just hard, it's actually impossible. You see, in our own power and strength, we just can't do this. So how are we to love those who are hard to love in our lives? Let's find out. Our text is Titus chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 4 and 5.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
It levels the playing field before our gracious Savior. We also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient. And then he says, deceived. We saw last week it spoke of being passively led astray. We were led astray. We were deceived. As we saw, we've been deceived by Satan. We were deceived by his servants, disguised as servants of Christ. We are also self-deceived. We had all sorts of ideas about God and life which were not true. We were deceived. We were deceived, led astray. And then we saw we were also enslaved to various lusts, or better said, we were slaves too. We were actively serving these things, various lusts and pleasures. The way the non-believer lives, and if this describes you, I ask you to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. You serve your own desires. It is my will, that's what you serve. Your multifaceted desires, and you also serve your pleasures. Rather than serving God and doing His will and wanting to please Him, you serve yourself wanting to please yourself. And if you examine your hearts before the Lord, maybe this is describing you, and it used to describe all of us. And then we see we spent our lives in malice, spending our life in malice, or the course was malice and envy. We desire to harm others. Maybe not serious harm, maybe serious harm. We desire to harm people. We spent our lives in malice and envy. We were envious of the things that other people had. We were envious of their advantage and therefore desired to harm them in our hearts. And then it says we were just plain hateful, hating one another. Folks, you see these characteristics popping out just as you drive your car. This is manifest, but ultimately, regardless of how well you hold it back on the outside, God sees the inside, and this is a description of every one of us before Christ. And brothers and sisters, we need to remember, we were also once disobedient fools, led astray, serving our own lusts and our own will for our pleasure, living in the context of malice and envy, from the nature of hate, hating one another. That's the way we used to be. And why do we contend with the deceived? Why do we malign the deceived? Why do we speak harshly to them? They are just the way that we were once. Now, I shared this last week. Some of you might be saying, I was never that way. And I tell you that you are self-deceived. And there's an evidence of that because God says this is the way we all once were. So at this point now we have a contrast, and this is where we move into our passage today. We have a contrast between the way we were and what God did when we were like this. And this contrast should motivate our righteous behavior towards those who don't know Christ. So here we go, and I'll read the passage again. And notice the contrast, the wonderful contrast in Scripture, but God. And we have one of those wonderful contrasts in Scripture that should cause us to praise Him. Verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be uncontentious, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Then here's the contrast, what we're going to look at today. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we had done in righteousness, but according to His mercy. That's what we're going to look at today. And then, Lord willing, next week we'll see how He saved us. The mechanics of our salvation in Christ. Did you notice the contrast? Verse 4 begins with a but. This most wonderful contrast between what we also once were continually, the way we were before Christ, and now what God has done in Christ. And this contrast should be a motivating factor for how we treat those who are not in Christ, those who were just the way we were. So what do we see here? First of all, I believe we see God's motivation for saving us, and that that motivation has nothing to do with us. We're going to see we should treat people rightly, not because they earn it in any way, shape, or form. Just like our salvation, it had nothing to do with us, but had all to do with His wonderful character manifest in Christ. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we had done in righteousness, but according to His mercy. Now, before we look at this passage in depth, I want to point out the grammatical structure here. The main phrase in these verses is, He saved us. That's what it's talking about. He saved us. And all the verses between 4 and 7 hang on this phrase in some way or another. And verses 4 to 7 are speaking in some way or another concerning our salvation. Notice the He. Well, who does that He point back to? It says earlier in verse 4, but when the kindness of God our Savior. It is God our Savior who saved us. Then if you look down in verse 6, it says, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, who saved us. He saved us. And the verb is in a tense that speaks of a completed action. It's a done deal. He saved us. And this verb is the normal word used to speak of salvation, sozo. It speaks of deliverance. It speaks of rescue from harm or great peril. It carries the idea of saving. We use the word the same way. I saved his life. Right? Someone was drowning. He saved my life. I was slipped on the cliff and he grabbed my arm and he saved me. It speaks of deliverance and rescue from great harm. You see, brother and sister, we were born into a perilous situation. We were born with a flaw inherited from Adam. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, Paul speaks of it, therefore, just as through one man, speaking of Adam, sin entered into the world. And death through sin. So death spread to all men. Why did death spread to all men? Because all sinned. Everyone sinned. You see, we were born into a perilous situation. Paul says that all have fallen short. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Isaiah speaks of us as each one has turned his own way. And the paycheck for sin, the wages of sin, is death. It is separation from a holy and living God. It is death. And folks, we just saw a description of the state of those who are walking in death. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. That's a description of all of us in deep, dangerous peril. And I must tell you, God, being a very righteous God, must judge sin. And no one within themselves is able to stand before his judgment. Psalm 1, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. That was our way, right? We lived that way. If your sin is not covered, you will not be able to stand before the Lord. You are in great eternal peril. And I warn you today, you are on the precipice of eternal damnation. You're on the precipice of what God declares will happen to you if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ and his provision for sin. We see not only is there the wages of sin, death, but the ultimate wage we see is the second death, which is the lake of fire. That God is a righteous God. We are in great spiritual peril. But as we've seen, God is a gracious, kind, loving, and merciful God who gave his Son to die for us, that we would be cleansed, we would be purified, we would be redeemed, we would be saved from the wrath to come, delivered from eternal punishment, rescued from the eternal consequences of sin. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, it is a trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We were all once this way, but verse 4, but a wonderful contrast. When the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. And we are reminded that the context here is to be doing good, God's way, that God has ordained. And this is a reminder in context. We were just that way, but look what good in salvation God did for us that we did not deserve. It is the motivation here. It is God's saving motivation. Nothing to do with us. Everything to do with his wonderful character manifest in Christ. So what was the motivation from this passage? We'll see it has to do with his attributes of grace, kindness, love, and mercy. First, let's review the first one. We saw in chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Or literally, God's saving grace has appeared. It has appeared in Christ. And down in chapter 3, verse 7, we see that being justified by his grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor towards us, manifest in the person of Christ. God was gracious to us. Well, how was he gracious? He sent his Son to die for us. He sent his Son to die for us. We deserved punishment and death, but God sent Christ anyway. Grace. In contrast, we were just like those non-believers. They don't deserve grace. We don't deserve grace. And God sent his grace in Christ. And by implication, I believe we are to be gracious. We are to be gracious, ready for every good deed, maligning no one, not contending, but gently forbearing in the context of meekness. Well, not only did God graciously pour out his grace and manifest that to us, we see specifically now in our passage three things. We see kindness, love, and mercy. First of all, let's take a look at his kindness and love. Verse 4. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. We have this word epiphany, this word we saw earlier, the grace of God has appeared. Now the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind has appeared. It has shone forth. When Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, his kindness and love and also his grace appeared in the scene of man. It appeared in the person of Jesus Christ, God the Son taking on human flesh. It shined forth. And our passage is saying here, but when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared. Salvation is a manifestation of God's kindness. God's kindness. The word translated kindness, krestos, gathers its root actually from furnishing what is needed. It speaks of a gracious attitude manifest in being helpful and beneficial. It reflects benevolence in action. It is goodness in action. It's translated kindness, I think, 8 times and 1 time goodness. We see in Scripture that kindness is actually a manifestation of love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. This chapter, which is not the marriage chapter, it's the chapter about Christ. 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. Love is kind. That's our word. And is not jealous. Love does not brag. And is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. Does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love is kind. Love is kind. Kindness is a fruit of God's Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and our word krestos, kindness. The fruit that is manifest in the life of a believer who abides in Christ, His Spirit-inspired word working out in the life, one of those fruits is kindness. And kindness is linked to our salvation in this passage. And it is also linked in others. The Apostle Peter speaks of it in 1 Peter chapter 2. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy and envy and slander, put it aside. And instead, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. And here's the clause. If you have tasted the krestos, or the kindness of the Lord, if you have truly tasted His kindness in the context of salvation, then put these things off and grow in the Lord via His word. It's related to salvation. Folks, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is kind. And this kindness was manifest when He appeared and died for our sins. He was kind to us. We were once all led astray. We were once all disobedient. We were once all everything we saw earlier. But He was kind. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. And folks, His grace in the context of kindness will be, ultimately, we will be trophies of His grace in the context of kindness for all eternity. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, which we'll see later, because of His great love, which we'll see in a minute, which He has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And here's why. In order that in the ages to come, that's eternity, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. In heaven, we are going to be trophies of God's grace in the context of kindness. Because God took us from where we were and His kindness appeared. And He saved us. He saved us. Well, notice we also see not only was His kindness of God our Savior, did that appear, but His love for mankind. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared. This term love for mankind is philoanthropia. Phileo speaks of a loving affection. And anthropio speaks of man, anthropos. It speaks of a loving affection towards men. It's not agape love, but it stems from that. It is a loving affection, His kindness and His loving affection towards mankind. And as I shared, although it's not agape love, it does arise from that. It's God's love for us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, that have everlasting life. And we certainly know that God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And here we see his kindness and love for mankind appeared. God was kind to us in sending Christ. God was affectionate towards us in sending Christ. We need to be the same way, folks, by his power and his spirit. So here's the point. Folks, we are to be kind. We ought to be loving to those who don't know Christ because our Savior is loving and kind. In contrast, we are to be loving and kind, ready for every good deed, maligning no one, not contending, but gently forbearing in the context of meekness. And our motivation is that we were once like them, but Christ was kind and loving to us. Now, I need to share, I'm not saying that we don't speak the truth in love. I'm not saying that we ignore sin. We share the gospel, which is going to confront the sin of those who are not saved. But ultimately, we're to be kind and loving. We're to be ready for every good deed. That's what we see. Let me ask you this. Are you kind and loving towards non-believers? We tend to have an arrogant attitude towards them because of their sin. We can tend to not be affectionate towards them because of how evil they are. We can tend not to be kind to them because of how evil they are. Praise God, the Lord wasn't like the way we were and are at times. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. If Christ would save us manifesting his kindness and love, should not we, by his power and spirit, equipped by his word, be kind and loving to those who don't deserve it? Yes. Well, notice also we see here that he saved us, and we're going to also see that it was based on his mercy that he saved us. Verse 4, but when the kindness of God and our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, and here we go, the main point, he saved us, and then we have a clause that hangs on this, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. And this is a crucial part for us to understand for Paul's argument in this passage concerning the way we are to act. This bracket of good deeds we see in chapter 3, verse 1, and then in verse 8. It is crucial for us to see this. His point is here, ultimately, that God saved us not because of what we did. And thus, we should be behaving righteously not because of what they do. Right? That God was gracious, kind, and merciful. The basis of our salvation was not because of our deeds or works. We were not saved on the basis of our deeds. He says he saved us not on the basis, not on behalf of our deeds or ergon, our works. Salvation cannot be earned. We cannot work for it. Scripture is clear that no one is saved by their works.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, since Christ made the first move in his relationship with us, are we to use that same model in our lives? Does that mean that we're to be actively looking for those in our world whom we can reach out to in his name?
You know, Dave, certainly the Lord is the one who saved us, and we see that he did so not on the basis of our works or our desires. He did so while we were dead in our transgressions and sins. So with that in mind, the Lord God is the one who moves to save, and so we should understand as we trust in Christ that he will lead us to the people that he is working on, that he desires us to share the gospel with. And when we're obedient to Him and submission to Him, it's amazing to see what God does in our lives for His glory and for eternal good.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.